tribal cultures are faced with the ultimate dilemma, how to exist in the contemporary world while still maintaining their traditions. Take the Mizen, for instance, a tribal culture in Papua New Guinea. They've received financial offers from companies that want to buy the rights to log and develop the rainforest. The Mizen have refused the offers because their whole way of life revolves around the rainforest. But they've been looking for alternate ways to raise the money they need for things like health care and education. One alternative is to sell their tribal art, tapis. Tapis is a cloth made of bark, which is painted in ritualistic or decorative patterns. The Mizen have had several tapis exhibits in the U.S. and are even discussing distribution with a well-known catalog company. The Fabric Workshop and Museum in Philadelphia recently brought in several Mizen artists. Their art will be exhibited through June 22nd. My guests are John Wesley Vasso, who is secretary of the Mizen's Conservation and Development Group, and Larry Rinder, the guest curator of the Philadelphia exhibition and curator of an earlier show in Berkeley. Larry Rinder traveled to the Mizen land. I asked him to describe how it looked to him as an outsider.
Well, it was quite extraordinary coming in. I expected an adventure, and I wasn't disappointed. It's quite long and arduous process to get to the Mizen lands. You fly through Australia, then you come into Port Moresby, which is a rather rough and tumble town. And then you have to fly in a small plane, and I have a fear of flying, so I, with great trepidation,
oh, boy.
I got into this a tiny little plane, and off we go over the spine of New Guinea, which goes up to about 12,000 feet, the mountains there, and which sometimes have snow on them, despite the fact of being very close to the equator. And you come down the other side, and we sort of dive bombed the runway to get the cows off of it once, and then finally landed. From there, you get in a dinghy, a motorized dinghy that goes through the ocean about an hour. There are no roads into the Mizen lands. And some of the Mizen people who can't afford the fuel or don't have boats will actually walk for hours through the mangrove swamps, but we weren't prepared to do that. So we came in our dinghy and surfed in into the mouth of a river. And there are these beautiful palm trees, and you can see the houses, which are on stilts and have beautiful thatched roofs. And I saw along the river they had built a beautiful ceremonial gateway made of palm fronds with flowers attached to it. But at first, I couldn't see any people there, and suddenly a group of men dressed as warriors came through this gate and with great vim and vigor proceeded to hurl spears at our little boat. And I had been standing up snapping pictures with my camera and suddenly fell backwards into the boat, and everyone laughed and had a great time. I learned later that this was the ceremonial way to welcome people to the village, only they usually don't throw the spears.
Did you think you were about to sacrifice your life for art?
Yes, I did.
John Wesley, can you explain that tradition to us of welcoming people with spears?
Well, that's been part and parcel of our life and the tradition and our culture in our society. And that is how the people are really committed to the type of the welcome that we are really looking forward to, and the people who are coming. This is our respect for the guests who will be coming. So this is really
but
going
But he thought you were trying to kill him.
No. I think he admits that in actual fact people told him it was just a way of a form of welcoming our guests into our site, in our community.
Now, John Wesley, you are the secretary for a group known as MICAD, and that stands for the Mizen Integrated Conservation and Development Group.
That's right.
And so you're one of the intermediaries here in deciding what to do when someone like Larry comes to the village and makes a request, we want some art. I believe that selling art has become one of the alternatives you've come up with to selling the trees. I mean, you've had a lot of big money offers from loggers who wanted to come into your village, which is in a rainforest, and cut down the trees. And you said no to that. Your community said no to the loggers. Why?
Well, there are various reasons behind our saying no to logging and the monster called development. And because there were reasons being that our wildlife would be affected, the forest. I mean, when people take away the forest, we would have our wildlife that would be taken away in that. And the timber will also be taken away with which we are able to build our houses. And of course, provide our own firewood out of. We don't have gas stoves and all that. That is a part and parcel of our livelihood. And of course, our freshwater streams would be polluted because of logging. And most of all, we would not want to give away our heritage. It's been passed on from generation to generation. And that is the utmost important, the reason why we want to maintain the forest.
Now, is there a line between what you're willing to sell in traditional art and the kind of art that you want to just keep within the community, art that's perhaps too sacred to be marketed?
Well, we have our clan designs and art within our own clans. There are 36 clans in the community, and each individual clan holds on to his own clan designs and art. This one, the one that we are trying to sell, the art, is the everyday artwork that is put on the tapa out of person's artist own mind, transformed on the tapa itself. So it's not taking away the sacredness of the culture and the actual artwork.
So is there actually some kind of law in your community that you can't sell the clan designs?
Well, there is no law that says we cannot, but the whole thing is it is sacred. It belongs to the clan, and it will stay a clan heritage. It will never be exchanged. Within the Meissen community, the society, one clan does not... clan heritage and clan art and design is not transferable.
Now, I understand that there hasn't been a word in your language for art. Is that right?
Well, I in my last visit to the community, I asked a lot of people this question, and as best as I could determine, there isn't a word for art exactly that corresponds to our word, but there is this word saraman, which and saraman, as far as I can determine, means a combination of thinking and doing, a confluence of thinking and doing. And when they talk about tapa making is saraman. It is something that exemplifies saraman, thinking and doing. But only the non-clan designs, the clan designs which are conventional, that is, the design is repeated generation after generation, these are not saraman because they don't require thinking to do. The design is known in advance. So it's because the tapa of the type that we have at the fabric workshop, or the types that are being done on the new fabrics, because the artist is thinking in the process of doing. There's a kind of a concentration. It is saraman, and I think that actually it's a much more subtle evocation of the creative process than our word for art. Our word for art is actually our word art is pretty clunky and indeterminate, and this seems much more refined.
Larry, as a curator of contemporary art exhibitions, mm-hmm. you mostly deal with living Western artists. Many of these artists, I'm sure, take a fairly intellectualized, analytical approach to their art. What has it been like for you to work with a tribal tradition mm-hmm. of art? Has it changed your personal sense of what art is, or the place you want art to have in your personal life, or mm-hmm. your community life, or your professional life?
Yeah. Well, actually, in terms of on the level of aesthetic production or intellectualization, I don't find the attitude of the Meissen artists that different from, say, abstract painters in the West. What's the connection?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask a Meissen artist, where does this come from? They say it comes free. It's from my imagination. I know painters, and they don't particularly like to talk about it. They don't like to go beyond that in terms of saying what the inspiration is. I know artists, one of my favorite artists, her studio is on Chamber Street in New York City. She could say the same thing. It could be the same sort of description, the same hesitancy to apply words or analysis to the process. For me personally, one of the things that I would say is most transforming about this experience is that when I first went to the village, in preparation for the Berkeley exhibition, one of the things they said was, they said, in our culture, you don't just come in and do something and then leave and that's it. When you make a commitment, it's a commitment for, you know, for life. It's a commitment from your heart. And this is completely antithetical to the way things are done in Western society, particularly in the art world. The way my exhibition work had been going, I think by the time I got to the Meisen, I had done probably 50 exhibitions with 50 different artists from all over the world. I'd meet them, we'd work intensely, and then, you know, that would be it. And so I was sort of taken aback by this and really had to reflect on what that meant. And here I am again with them 5 years later. So far, so good.
My guests are curator Larry Rinder and Meisen tribal leader John Wesley Vasso. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guests are John Wesley Vasso, and he is from the Meisen tribe in Papua New Guinea. And the tribe is now marketing some of their art to the West, and this is an alternative to raising money through logging the rainforest that they live in. And Larry Rinder is with me as well. He's director of exhibitions and public programs at the California College of Arts and Crafts. He curated an exhibition of Meisner art in California, and he also curated the exhibition at the Fabric Workshop and Museum in Philadelphia. Larry, our art and commerce are always a little controversial when they come together. Mm-hmm. And they're coming together in a very interesting way in the Meisen community, because the Meisen are using art as a way of funding the community, mm-hmm. and as one of the alternatives to selling out the rainforest, mm-hmm. to loggers. And I guess I'm wondering what you think of this intersection, mm-hmm. of art and commerce, mm-hmm. in a traditional context.
Right. Well, I think it's really fascinating. There is a double standard in the worlds of museum practice and in terms of the art market. That is to say, for Western art, for something to be valued as art, it has to be useless. It has to be something that is just intended for sort of pure aesthetic delectation. And generally speaking, it's something that needs to have been made for the market. Otherwise, it's craft or untrained art or something like this. It gets some sort of lesser denotation. For non-Western arts, it's precisely the opposite. For something to be art, it has to be, to end up in a museum or to have this sort of great value placed on it, it has to have been something that is useful, something that was made for, say, a carved canoe or for a sacred use, for example. And it can't have been made for commercial reason. So it's actually the absolute opposite. And I think that the world is becoming a much too complex place, and much too hybridized for us to maintain this distinction any longer. I mean, it really is an odd distinction to begin with. And I think at this point, it's something that is just not useful any longer.
Is this changing your idea of what the definition of art should be, or how art should be valued in the marketplace?
Yes, absolutely.
How?
When the Meisen came to Berkeley and we were conducting market research, and we were faced with the question of where is the market niche for these top of cloth paintings? Is it as tourist art? Is it something we want to sort of put in airport shops? Is it something that's best for museum stores? Or is it something that we could market as fine art? Do we price these things at $10 or $10,000? Because there was virtually no exposure of this material in the West, we had this whole range of opportunities, and it immediately raised the philosophical question, you know, what is this? What is the value of this material as art, as craft, as you know, what have you? And the decision ultimately was based more on what was best for the community than on how we're going to define it in the West. That is to say, in conversation with the Meisen representatives who came over, we decided that if the value of the individual pieces were too high, say in the $1,000 to $10,000 range, that would create a kind of an inequity in the community. It would perhaps create the kind of star system or celebrity status that you talked about, and would endanger community stability. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we didn't want to place the value so low that it just demeaned the practice. And so we came to a sort of an intermediate level. And I think that that's fascinating, to sort of establish the definition of what kind of art this is based on the community's needs.
John Wesley, I understand one of the things you wanted to see while you were in the United States was a car factory. And you were taken to the Chrysler plant, to a Chrysler plant. Why did you want to go there?
Well, we've heard so much about the cars being made in the States, and we decided that we'd go and see the automobile factory. And, well, it was really fascinating, amazing at how many cars were turned over in a matter of day. And it was really interesting to note how, you know, we, instead of the man working, it was the robots working. And even before we got to the finished part of the plant, the cars that we had seen, you know, being assembled had already been, you know, gone through the process and were parked outside. And when we came back, they just opened the door, went in, and were just looking at the cars, and it was really amazing how many cars these people could make. They said it was about 48 cars in an hour.
Are there any cars in your village?
No roads, no cars. Maybe one day.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
John Wesley Vasso is a Mizen tribal leader. Larry Rinder guest curated the Mizen exhibition at the Fabric Workshop and Museum in Philadelphia.